the internet. Stand up! Stand up!
Stand up! Stand up! Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. South African billionaire Patrice Motsepe is the new president of the Confederation of African Football. The 59-year-old Motsepe was elected Friday at the CAF Congress in Morocco, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. South African Patrice Motsepe was elected unopposed as the 8th president of the Confederation of African Football after his 3 rivals withdrew last week as part of a pact to unify behind a common vision for African football. Motsepe's position was further consolidated leading up to Friday elective Congress after the Court of Arbitration for Sport on Monday this week upheld its decision to maintain a FIFA ban on current president Madagascar's Ahmed Ahmed, though reducing his sentence from 5 years to 2 years. In his brief remarks shortly after he was pronounced elected president, Patrice Motsepe said it was an honor to lead the continent's football governing body.
It's a huge honor and a huge privilege for me. And also thank my brother Gianni for the vision and the encouragement of unity. We can only deal with the challenges of Africa and we will succeed. But we will only do so when we are united. I mean, I'm absolutely confident working together, we will indeed succeed to make African football not just be the summit, but be amongst the best in the world. You know, sometimes we see the problems and the failures and the weaknesses in CAF, and there are challenges. But we must also focus on the optimistic, on the positive.
Before the votes, FIFA President Gianni Infantino told the CAF General Assembly on Friday that FIFA plans to double the number of African teams participating at the 2026 World Cup from 5 to 10.
You will not have any more 5 teams. You will not have 6 teams or 7 teams playing the World Cup. You will have 9 or 10 teams, national teams, playing in the World Cup. We have doubled the number of African teams playing in the World Cup, because the World Cup is the celebration of global football and Africa needs to be present and needs to be present in force. But Africa does not only have to be present at the World Cup. Africa has to perform at the World Cup, has to play a leading role in the World Cup. And the work to do this, dear friends, starts today. Because 5 years is very soon.
Raymond Hawk is a member of CAF Disciplinary Committee. He described the emergence of Patrice Motsepe as the best thing to happen to African football.
I think Patrice is a global businessman. You know, looking at it as his credentials, it's probably the best thing that could ever have happened, that the person who comes in is a experienced businessman, because CAF is a business. African football is a business. You need to run it that way. And I think what he will try and do is he will try and get unity within Africa, and then he will use his business acumen to try and ensure that CAF is successful.
Kalusha Buela is a former Zambia Football Association president. He shares his thoughts on the new CAF president.
Patrice has come to come in with a new to refocus and revive African football. So this is very, very important. So let us, you know, make a line on the ground and say we're starting from here. We have a seasoned leader, a businessman who's able to open any door. The fact that he has been successful in business means one thing, that he can be able to open any door, whether it is in South Africa, whether it is an African continent or international scenes.
But not all sports administrators on the continent are comfortable with the role the FIFA president Gianni Infantino played in ensuring that Patrice Motsepe stood for the election unopposed. One such person is Musa Biliti, the former Liberian Football Association president, who is also serving a ban.
They organized a meeting and they forced the other 3 candidates to give up because they blackmailed them.
You know, that's what they're specialized in. That's what they always do. They blackmail them and force them out of the race in order for one candidate to remain in the race.
According to reports, the three candidates who stepped down for Musepe, Sengo and Yaya, they are set to take on vice president positions, with Anoma being poised to become a special advisor to Musepe. Staying with football news, Namibia's hopes of qualifying for the 2022 African Cup of Nations is hanging in the balance as it sits third in Group A on 3 points behind Mali on 10 and Guinea on 8. But Bobby Samaria, coach of the Brave Warriors, as the national team of Namibia is called, has named a squad of 36 players for Namibia's final two AFCON 2022 qualifying matches, one away to Chad on the 24th of March and the other at home to Guinea 4 days later. The squad includes 14 foreign-based professionals, 12 local-based players, and 4 players who are currently unattached. Bobby Samaria has also been explaining why he called up Steven Damaseb, Prince Tizuza, and Amazin Kadijil, 3 of Namibia's star players at the recently concluded Under-20 AFCON finals in Mauritania.
Playing for the junior national team, you need to have a pass. And obviously, going to the Under-20s and then the senior national team is the path of any footballer. As young as they are, I think they have shown their mettle. But them being ready for the senior national team to play is a different story. We know the players now. It's for us now to bring them aboard, to try and train with the bigger boys and see how they will gel with the senior national team. And we hope this time around, of course, we have our professional players, the Chad Williams, the Dion Ottos, who are doing great for their clubs. They will bring that form over to the motherland.
Staying with the AFCON 22 qualifiers in Kenya, Harambee Stars will on Saturday host the Bright Stars of South Sudan at the Nyayo Stadium before playing the Taifa Stars of Tanzania in the doubleheader scheduled for Monday and Thursday. These friendlies are tune-up games for the Kenya national team ahead of their African Cup of Nations qualifiers against Egypt and Togo later this month. Coach Jacob Ghost Muli is confident his players can beat Egypt and Togo.
The last time we played our two games against Comoro, we didn't have the local league on. Now the league has been on, and that gives us a lot in terms of player selection.
And now to athletics, where COVID-19 vaccination for priority groups officials gone on away in Uganda this week. But for the sports fraternity, they will have to wait a bit longer to join the fray, as talks with the Minister of Health in Uganda are ongoing to vaccinate 26 athletes who will represent the East African country at the Tokyo 2021 Olympic Games. Dennis Hampson Obua, Uganda Minister of Sports, says athletes that have qualified to represent Uganda at the forthcoming Olympic Games will be the first in queue when sports personalities are cleared to get the COVID-19 jabs.
I believe in the next cabinet meeting, when definitely we are briefed, we will be able, as a subsector of sports, as a sector of education and sports, to also put forward our request, especially majorly targeting Team Uganda for Olympic. Then the others can always follow.
In South Africa, the Department of Sports in South Africa has pledged over $800,000 to help Olympian Caster Semenya appeal her testosterone ruling. The confirmation comes on the back of Athletics South Africa's request for the department to make financial resources available for Caster Semenya to possibly return to her number one sports. Dave Maharaj, Athletics South Africa's lawyer, says the athletics body is planning to challenge the report that informed World Athletics to ban athletes with such medical condition.
We would attack the basis upon which the regulations have been formulated. We are vehemently attacking the technical aspects relating to the studies that were conducted. We are attacking the ethical issues relating to the studies that were conducted. We were rather hopeful that the department could muster up support from our African brothers, because the practical side of it is that it's more African women who are whose rights are being trampled by these regulations. And it is time that Africa speaks with one voice.
Semenya is restricted from taking part in events between 400 meters and a mile unless she takes testosterone-reducing drugs, according to a ruling made by World Athletics in 2019. She appealed the ruling twice, but she lost on both occasions, first with the Court of Arbitration for Sports and second with the Swiss Supreme Court. Semenya, who won Olympic gold in the 800 meters in 2012 and 2016, is still hopeful taking part in the upcoming Olympic Games in Tokyo. Greg Noor, her lawyer, lawyer explains why they are proceeding with the current appeal.
I think we've decided to do this because we haven't had a fair shot, we don't believe, at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Her genetic makeup is of no fault of her own. She is mere who she is. She is a woman athlete wanting to run and wanting to win. Article 8 is a respectful private life. You know, if she were to run, then the World Athletics say, well, she must have either hormonal intervention or invasive surgery. And we say that's a violation.
It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malley with another extra spicy African sports package.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In more African football news, Nigeria has named a 24-man team for Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches this month against Benin and Lesotho. The Super Eagles of Nigeria currently lead their qualifying group with 8 points as they try to book their ticket to next year's Nations Cup tournament in Cameroon. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the Super Eagles media officer, Babafemi Raji.
Yes, the team list is out already. 24-man list as released by Coach Geno Roh in preparation for the final lap of qualifiers for the AFCON. Definitely, you know, it's all about the games on the 27th and on the 30th. 27th, we play Benin Republic in Porto Novo, 5 p.m. kickoff, while we also play the Crocodiles of Lesotho in Lagos, Nigeria, on the 30th. Well, interesting list. You've got the regulars, Maduka Okoye, Francis Uzoor returns to the fold, and then John Noble, a local lad here, and it doesn't stay for AIMBA International, is a member of this team, 24-man team released by Geno Roh, with the likes of William Trust Ekong, Kenneth Omeru, Leon Balogun, Chido Ziawazian, Jamilu Collins, Zaidu Sanusi, Ola Aina, and Tyrone Ebue as the defenders invited. Wonderful selection where you have Wilfred Ndidi, Ogene Kare Tebo, Asemi Ajayi, Shewa Abdullahi, Joe Aribo, as midfielders invited, and you know, we're spoiled to choice when it comes to strikers. Moses Simon, Alex Iwobi, Asama Kalu, Victor Osimhenkele, Chiana Cho, Samuel Chukwueze, and one man who's been painting the second tier of football in Spain. I'm talking about Red Big Gold. Sadiq Umar are also being invited. And of course, Captain Ahmed Musa. So, well, you can already imagine what to expect from this particular games against Lesotho and also against Benin Republic. Wonderful list. The coaches are indeed must have done a thorough job in getting up. Remember, Mike, Nigeria is blessed with talented players. So you can imagine the selection headache Roh had before he came up with this particular final list. You can imagine how many times himself with his entire coaching crew checked this list, the scouting process and everything. The bottom line here is the result. And we will get the desired result against Benin and indeed against Lesotho when we play both games this month.
Super Eagles captain Ahmed Musa made the list, while some analysts are questioning his inclusion because he's presently clubless. What's your take on this?
I knew you asked me about Ahmed Musa. Yes, on Ahmed Musa. Well, he's the captain of the team, the leader of the team. Even the coach, Geno Roh, has stated in clear terms there that Musa was invited as the captain of the team. A gang needs a leader. This journey started up us or with them as a gang and Ahmed as a captain. A gang always needs a leader, and they have the leader in Ahmed Musa, even if he doesn't get to play. That influence as a leader is there. It helps the entire team mentally, psychologically. They are poised to get the desired results, which is very key. It's all about the results, and most times a lot of people tap energy from their leaders, and it may not be on the field of play, but leadership goes or transcends just being on the field of play. It also has to do with what happens off the field of play. I'm going to draw out the coach. I stated clearly that what he needs Ahmed Musa for right now, he's not playing, but he's the captain of the team. The boys will look up to him for one or two things off the pitch, even on the pitch. And then he could do that. So a lot of things are right there. So I don't think there's a need for anybody to get worried about that. And that we have Ahmed Musa right there as part of the squad. He's a captain of a team.
Are there new names in the list? Do you think Super Eagles will overcome Benin and Lesotho in the last qualifying matches?
Yes, there are new names. There are new names. Of course, I just told you about one, John Noble, who's done the scene right here in the domestic scene for Imba. And then we also have Sadiq Umar. Sadiq Umar really scoring goals in the second tier of football in Spain. So you can imagine that sort of names. Even on standby list, you still have names like Michael Elise, who also has been invited, and the player Adeleke also called up. So look at names. That's on the standby. So it's all about having to gradually integrate some players into the team. Again, overall, the coach mentioned something last time we spoke. He talked about not being in a hurry to just start getting the new players, try new players, when you already have a core, you have a nucleus. So all you need to do is gradual integration of one or two. And mind you, the window is so short, really short, to start trying out some experiments. And we want to finish this off, course off, so that we can now focus on the World Cup qualifiers, which indeed will start from the 31st of May. And we know we have our first round of games, 31st of May, between the window 31st of May to the 15th of June. So it means we have a very busy schedule all through the year. And there are still opportunities for our players perhaps to be tried out by the coach, Genaro. Nigeria is blessed with talents, and that is the key thing. We are blessed with so much talent. Our plan, the plan of any team, any good team, is to go to a game and win. Since assumption of office as coach, Genaro has a record. Always qualifies Nigeria, at least with a game to spare. He has never failed to do that, to qualify us for a tournament. And that won't happen now. He won't fail us. the team will qualify. We will take on Benin Republic. We expect, it's a game of football. We expect to indeed do the needful, get 3 points, beat Benin Republic, return home to say thank you to Nigerians, thank you to the fans for supporting our darling Super Eagles by seeing off at the Crocodiles of Lesotho. And that's what we plan to do. And then thank them, even as we start preparing for the next level, which will be the 2022 World Cup qualification series, which is also very, very, very important.
That's Babafemi Raji, the media officer of Nigeria's men's national football team, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Babafemi Raji, media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
South Sudan's national football team, nicknamed the Bright Stars, will play Malawi and Burkina Faso this month in its final two Nations Cup qualifying matches. The Bright Stars are traveling a very bumpy road to Nations Cup qualification. They're at the bottom of their qualifying group with 3 points and need victories against the Malawians and the top of the table Burkinabe to go to Cameroon next year. Now, one bright spot for the Bright Stars of South Sudan has been a player with ties to both Kenya and Uganda. Magume Davis Raka Winge tells us more from Kampala, Uganda. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty greetings, you Sunny. South Sudan will highly rely on the services of striker Tito Kello when the Bright Stars seek to overshine Malawi Flames for a slot at the African Finals. The Goromaya striker Okello, who was born in Uganda, when he started to play soccer as a little boy, remembers how it was when he started to play the game he passionately loves.
I started playing football when I was a teenager, like around 7 years old. And that's how I progressed to the academy. And I was playing in high schools. Then I progressed to professional football.
The 25-year-old played for top clubs in Uganda, including AC Villa, KCCA and Vipers FC, before he joined 19 times Ken champions Gor Mahia, and says it has been a daunting task settling in. Yet, the speedy forward says he's well aware fighting for silverware is the reason he was signed by the Kenya's defending champions.
Different leagues always have different approach, so yeah, I'm still struggling to settle here. I know the league are not always the same like the one in Uganda, because I've been in Tanzania. I know, yeah, it's a hard league. It's really hard physically. Actually, being in a big club, you always know they have one goal. They always want to win trophies. So being here, I came like to help the team win trophies.
Teammate defender Philemon Omondi Otieno says he believes Tito Kello will make a massive contribution to the club.
I think he's a very important player
for us. He's doing good. It's only that the results have not been coming, but we are pushing very hard as a team to get where we are supposed to be. He's a good player. He's a quality player. With time, we know he will help us a lot.
Coach Manuel Vaz Pinto says Tito's versatility will play a big role in turning around the team's performance and push for the title yet again.
Tito is important for the team. He can give for us different things than the other strikers, including he can play in two different positions, and this is good for us because sometimes we have some players tired or injury, and he can give different solutions for the team. For example, in the last game in Zambia, he gave a lot of energy for the team, and I believe in the future he can give some goals for us, like he scored in Kisumu.
One big motivation for Tito, he says, is his first goal against his country of birth, Uganda, in the AFCON qualifying game, as South Sudan beat Uganda by 1-0 at Nyayo Stadium last November.
That goal was really important because it was my first international goal, like in the national team, and it was also a historical goal to the people who are living there in South Sudan, because that was their first win in any international goal. So the goal was really important, not only to me and also to the South Sudanese as their fans.
Sports analyst Clive Chaze describes Okello as a complete striker with qualities to play not only in Africa's big teams like Gor Mahia, but also in Europe's elite leagues.
He has the height you will need from a center forward. He has the attributes any coach would need from a center forward, who can also at the same time play as a lone striker. He has a very good first touch. He has the body to protect or shield the ball from the opposition. By having a very good first touch, that means he also has the ability to involve teammates in play. He has an eye for goal. He's not scared of shooting.
Not surprising, Tito Okello harbors dreams to play in Europe's big teams, but for now, he's focusing on his team and helping South Sudan to make its presence felt at the continental level.
We are playing Malawi on 24th. The preparation is not all that bad. There are other guys who are already training. We are going to join them later. So I think we have some couple of friendlies to play. We're playing Harambee Stars, I think, on 13th, then I think we'll go to Tanzania and play another friendly. So I think those two friendlies will really help us sharpen us for the next game with Malawi.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ran the best quarter mile in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America.
In Olympic news, Team Great Britain's women's football team at the Tokyo Games will be coached by a former Norwegian player who won an Olympic gold medal and lifted the Women's World Cup trophy. Joining us now with that story is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. This week, the English Football Association confirmed Hege Riise as head coach of Team Great Britain for the Tokyo Games. Following the announcement, FA Director of Women's Football Sue Campbell joined Coach Riise for a video news conference where Campbell told reporters Riise's experience as an Olympic champion was a key factor in choosing her to lead Britain in Tokyo.
That Olympic experience, you know, all of the research shows us that people that haven't been to an Olympics before really struggle with their first Olympics, and that includes coaches. It is a unique and very different experience to a World Cup, for example. You know, it's essentially 26 World Cups of different sports happening simultaneously. The village itself is a different environment. And I think the fact that Hege has been there both as a player and a coach will really help her to prepare the team the very best she can.
Before becoming a coach, Riise was a midfielder for Norway and scored 58 goals in 188 appearances during her time with the national team. She won Olympic gold, first as a player in the Sydney Olympics in 2000 and again as assistant coach at London 2012. And now with a ticket to Tokyo, Riise is on course to become only the fifth woman in history to win three Olympic medals in the sport. Her experience gives her a unique perspective from both sides of the pitch, and she has some advice for the Lionesses of Great Britain going into this year's games.
To be careful enough between the games, not run out of gas, have the energy going into every game, and do whatever we can to have the days in between light, fun. So be like when the game is on, you are focused and you want to win. And in between, it has to be some way relaxing, but also focused when you need to, because you need to enjoy the ride as well.
Riise has enjoyed an impressive ride of her own. Along with her Olympic gold medals, she won the UEFA Women's Championship in 1993 and the World Cup for Norway in 1995. That same year, she was named World Player of the Year. Her career took her from the Norwegian League to the United States and then back to Norway, where she retired in 2006. Her biggest highlights were achieved while playing in big tournaments, and Riise says the upcoming experience at the Tokyo Games will enhance the careers of her players as well.
All the experience that the player get playing in big tournament is adding to their experience. And for the English player that go to the Olympics and will be going for the Euros, that's a major experience that they get. And even though the Euros is totally different tournament, but like everything you add to your experience bring you one step further. So I will say that this is a good tournament and experience going forward.
Great Britain are returning to the Olympics after they failed to qualify for Rio 2016. They'll be one of 12 teams taking part in the football tournament at the Tokyo Games. And when Riise was asked which team she's watching out for, the U.S. women's soccer team was at the top of her list.
As always, the U.S. will be a hard team to beat. History-wise, they won almost everything, but not so often the Olympics. So this is an opportunity that we will take. And of course, it's 12 teams, so it will be a competition every game that we play.
Riise was appointed alongside Canadian Rianne Wilkinson, who will serve as assistant coach for Great Britain. And as the two women prepare for the Tokyo Games, they will continue their interim roles as leaders for the England women's national team. And that is all from me for today and for the week. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. We heard Coach Risa say how the USA will be a hard team to beat in the Olympic women's football tournament. The American women are going for their fifth gold medal with their previous Olympic titles in 1996, 2004, 2008, and 2012. Germany is the defending Olympic champion in women's football. And that wraps up the March 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.